This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Does anybody in the Western Conference of the NBA playoffs want to compete with Golden State? Anybody? Just raise your hand if you do. Last night, the Nuggets and the Trailblazers, you know, one of those teams is likely moving on to play the Golden State Warriors unless the Rockets can rebound from a 2-0 deficit. But Portland and the Nuggets last night got into an epic clang fest that some people found entertaining because at least the game was competitive. I found rather dull and boring. It was chippy. There was one of the players on the Nuggets broke his nose. It was just a bad basketball game that you get sometimes in the postseason where everything is just... It's like there's a plastic cylinder on top of the hoop and nothing can go in. So anyway, Portland wins the game 97-90. The Nuggets were 6 of 29 from the three-point line. And all of a sudden now we've got a series where the home team has finally lost, and it's the Denver Nuggets who now have to go to Portland in one of the most craziest arenas that you'll find in the NBA and try to steal a game there so they can have home court advantage back. But when you look at what Houston, with James Harden, who should not have any eye trouble in game number three when they hosted at the Toyota Center on Saturday, but when you look at Houston, you know, now Portland, who has this, Damian Lillard didn't play particularly well last night. Denver, that has had this up and down postseason, where sometimes they look like the two seed, and sometimes you wonder what they are. In reality, what we're not getting is a real viable competitive team that can emerge to challenge Golden State. Now, I don't mind Golden State going back to the finals. If they're good enough to go back to the finals, they deserve to go back. I'm not one of those people that's bored by dynasties, bored by the same team. I'm okay with that. I'm fine. But I do want somebody to emerge and challenge them and give them a fight and give them a kind of a work, if you will, in the postseason. I thought the Rockets did that last year, and I want to see the Rockets do that this year. But should Golden State emerge, what's waiting for them right now are two pretty flawed teams that Golden State should pretty much make easy work of. We'll talk about that night in the NBA a little more. That's going on with games coming up. Got a lot to get to today, including some horse racing news out of the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs. Something I quite don't understand, but yet has made the rounds in the news circles for the Run for the Roses. It's all coming up, SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're celebrating 2015 Throwback Thursday, not that long ago. But on this date, the Kentucky Derby, American Pharoah won the Kentucky Derby en route to the Triple Crown. Victor Espinosa was the jockey. Also, that later that night, good night in sports 4 years ago, Floyd Mayweather beat Manny Pacquiao on points in a 12-round world welterweight unification fight. And that fight shattered the financial records. So, yeah, big night that... Was that really... Wow, 4 years ago. God, where's time going? Slow down.
I know. Doesn't it feel like it was yesterday?
Yeah, it doesn't feel that long ago. I remember... my wife and I and the kids were out in the yard and we were doing some yard work, and this would be about a month or so later when American Pharoah was running the Belmont. And I remember running into the house to watch it, and then I was screaming because the Triple Crown was accomplished. And my wife was like, "What is this? Why are you yelling?" I tried to explain it to her, but I kind of felt dumb why I was yelling about a horse race have money on.
That's when we all became horse racing fans, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I've been rooting for a Triple Crown for a while, so I was a horse racing fan while I was rooting for other ones like Big Brown and other horses. There was one that was supposed to dominate and then lost the Belmont, and I remember being in, God, I wish I could remember the name, Smarty Jones. Yeah, Smarty Jones, and I remember I was at a Rockies-Phillies game the day of the Belmont, and Smarty Jones was a filly horse, and they were playing the Phillies, and the reporters didn't want to go downstairs until Smarty Jones ran the race. And their justification was the players are going to be watching this too. And they were right. So they took their time going down to the locker room. We're all racing to the elevator to go down, but the Philly reporters were like, nah, we'll watch this first. And I was like, oh, okay, so I'll watch this with them. And I did. But he lost the Belmont, and he lost a chance with the Triple Crown. But I've been wanting and I don't know why I wanted the Triple Crown. I don't know why I wanted to root for it.
Because we hadn't had it since what, like the late 70s?
Yeah, but I wouldn't call myself a big enough horse racing fan to say that was an important thing I wanted to see, but I did really want to see it.
Oh, I'm exactly with you. I could care less.
Right?
I couldn't care more, I guess.
Like, let me ask you a question. If somebody told you, if this guy gets, I don't know pick a sport you don't watch at all, don't care about at all, and somebody said
cricket.
There's something historic that's happening, would you just go, well, I gotta rearrange my schedule to make sure I catch that?
I don't know, right? I guess the only one would be cricket, right?
I guess so, right?
And all of a sudden, if something in cricket was exciting, because, I can get into rugby. Rugby's fun. Just sitting, watching
each other. I guess I could.
But cricket, I absolutely don't understand.
No.
I don't understand how one game can last like 5 days.
Oh, no. Remember when, I know. No kidding. Remember when Tiger Woods was playing the Masters for the Tiger Slam? Like, people watched it and didn't care. Like, didn't know anything about golf. And they wanted to see that.
Was playing against. They just wanted to see Tiger.
They just wanted to see that. So I guess it was the same way with the horse racing. So on this date, American Pharoah won the Kentucky Derby, first of three races that he would go on to win the Triple Crown. And then later on, that fight was, I didn't watch that fight. I didn't order that fight, but I kind of followed it on Twitter. And I was like, and I watched it later. Then they rebroadcast. I watched it later, but I didn't watch it when it was originally went down. I was not going to be home, so I didn't want to, pay for something I wasn't going to watch that night. But I remember the big hype. We waited and waited for that fight too. And that delivered the money, but I don't think it delivered the kind of drama we thought. Mayweather played it safe like he always does and beat Pacquiao on points. Like, that was predicted by those who knew boxing. So this date 4 years ago, those two major events went down. All right, so the NBA last night, Nuggets fell to Portland. Now, last night, the Billboard Music Awards were on, so I had to go onto another television to watch the game. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really watching the game. I was kind of had a... This series is compelling to me because I know the Nuggets pretty well and I know the Denver market pretty well, but I could tell early on that this was not going to be one of those games that was high on the entertainment factor. So I did a lot of reading and on, different stories and, stuff I wanted to do today for the show, but I kept it enough in the background to watch it. Now, I was reading Deadspin today, for example. They thought the game was entertaining. I didn't find the game entertaining last night. I didn't think it was very entertaining. I don't like bad basketball, and it was bad basketball. You could give me a game with good defense, but that's not what we got last night. That wasn't good defense. That was just bad basketball. Both teams couldn't shoot. All right, so there was that. The Nuggets turned the ball over too much. Defensively, I didn't think it was stellar. It just clang, clang, clang. Everything was just coming off the iron. Jokic didn't play particularly well, but neither did Damian Lillard, so you have that going for you. But in the end, somebody had to win that game last night, and it was Portland, and now they've earned a split in this series. And listen, I don't think there's moral victories, right? I don't like that term. I don't like it when teams that go above expectations rely on that, or when their fan bases use that as a crutch. But that's nevertheless what's going to happen to the Nuggets, no matter what happens this year, right? The people in Denver are going to say, wow, this blew our minds. They hadn't made the postseason in a while. Then they did, and they were a 2 seed, and it was a really fun season, and we saw some really good basketball, and Jokic is really emerging as a star. Great. But I'm sure Denver is saying, listen, we should beat this team. We should win this series. And if they don't, they are probably not taking the moral victory like their fan base is. But as I said at the top of the show, somebody's got to play Golden State in the next round. Unless Houston can win the series. Unless Houston can come back and win the series. But right now, it looks like Golden State is in the driver's seat to get to the Western Conference Finals. We'll see Saturday. If Saturday the Rockets win, all right. All bets are off, and we'll see if they can tie up the series on Monday. But the way Golden State is playing and beating this Rockets team, they're in the driver's seat. One of these two teams had better get whatever they've got, whatever act they got together, if they're going to be competitive against the Warriors, because the Warriors are going to make quick work of either one of these guys. in Denver and Portland. It wasn't just two really good teams that had a bad night. These are two good teams that are flawed and flawed enough to be exploited, especially Denver. Now, I've been saying that the thing about the Nuggets that's appealing to watch in a lot of instances is the fact that guys will step up at different nights. Different guys will step up. But this is Jokic's team. This is Nikola Jokic's team. If he doesn't play well, there doesn't seem to be a person that will score 37 for them when they need it. Everybody was having a bad night. All right, everybody was having a bad night. And it was not, I didn't find the game compelling at all. Now, sometimes you can watch a bad game and it can be competitive and that's what you take out of it. This was a competitive game that was poorly played, poorly executed, and I didn't find it compelling at all. But that being the case, the larger picture is neither one of these teams is going to be capable of challenging Golden State in a real series. The only team that is capable of doing that right now is in the 2-0 hole for the Warriors, and that's Houston. Nuggets is a 2 seed, have no chance because of games like last night. When their team can't shoot, they don't have another way of finding a way to get out of that. Look at Milwaukee against Boston in game 2. Boston was bottlenecking everything that Giannis was doing in the first half, and yet they broke away, beat the Celtics by 21 points in the third quarter, held Boston scoreless by 7, and ran away with the game. At some point, I thought Denver last night was going to be able to turn the switch, find a way to score, any which way to score, but at least prevent Portland from scoring, and they couldn't do it. And Jokic looked okay at times, but because he passes the ball really well for a big man. But this was not their finest hour. Either one of these teams, not their finest hour. Now, one game does not make a generalized statement. I get it. But if you watched that game last night, you can tell that neither one of these teams is capable of taking Golden State to the next level, to a next place. So if you don't like the Warriors going back to the finals, it's probably what you're going to get, unless the Rockets can turn up the heat a little bit in this semifinal series. And I hope they do. By the way, word on James Harden, no cornea damage to the eye. Great news. Well, he did score 29 points with the bad eye the other night, so I didn't think there would be vision problems anyway. But he has until Saturday to really recoup from that laceration on the eyelid. But again, I hope they do find an answer for Golden State, because that's the series I wanted, and I wanted something competitive, because right now we ain't getting much competition in the Western Conference. Not much at all. And we'll see where this Portland-Denver series goes. All right, coming up next, I want to get to the Derby because of who is out for the race and what it actually means. I don't know much about it, but boy, oh boy, do people really have a lot to say. We'll get to that, plus what Philly fans are doing to Bryce Harper. That's all coming up, SB Nation AM.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Throwback Thursday, SB Nation AM, 2015. So Maroon 5 bringing us in. Saw them at the Billboard Music Awards last night. I only watched a little bit of that. My wife said it was a good show. I don't like award shows very much. I don't like the Oscars. I don't like the Grammys. I don't like the Tony Awards. I don't even like the ESPYs.
Well, that's
I don't
a like communist award stance.
Shows. Yeah, I don't like. Yeah, I know. I don't like award shows. I'm not big on it because I don't like an industry patting itself on the back. I don't. The awards don't really come from anywhere. It's just people celebrating their own, and I'm not big on that. I like elections because I like election night, because election night is the people speaking for politics.
Well, you just recently went to an award show.
The draft?
Yes, that's an award show now.
No, that's not an award show. That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
But I did read somewhere that if the Oscars or the Emmys could make their award show and mirror what the NFL draft just did, that would be entertaining.
But just have them select,
no speeches. There we go.
The difference, though, is that the teams that are picking the players are getting a valuable asset. Like, there's nothing that comes out of Moonlight winning Best Picture other than I guess I'll see Moonlight because it won Best Picture.
Did Moonlight win Best Picture? You picked the one movie that didn't actually get their name called.
Yeah, well,
right, or no, they got their name called and they were wrong. I don't know. That was the controversy.
I don't know. Doing a repair that needs a special tool, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so they're sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool. Return the tool to the in the original condition and receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Oh, by the way, last night at the Music Awards, Kelly Clarkson was introducing Madonna. But Madonna's still kicking around, by the way. I did not know this. I didn't know she was still performing. She said, coming up, Madonna will perform something you've never seen before. And I'm like, listen, we've already, like 35 years ago, we went through that with her already. Like, I'm old enough to remember when Madonna did actually do something that we had never seen before on stage. And it made people's jaw drop. So I'm pretty sure there's nothing she could have done in 2019 on television unless she stripped down to nothing or whatever, that would have made people go, oh, I've never seen that before. She was wearing an eye patch, though, and I didn't know what for.
James Harden.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a big
Harden
fan.
James Harden.
She's a big Harden fan. You didn't know that, Tony.
I said to my wife, I said, is this a fashion statement? She goes, I don't know. I go, because I want to, did she get injured, or is this a part of the act? There's no reason for her to wear an eye patch and look like a female pirate.
All right, what if she's trying to start a fashion trend and it takes off?
God, I don't want to. The pirate look?
Are millennials gullible enough to go, you know what, and you can bedazzle.
Yeah, exactly.
The eye patch.
You can have wear it all sorts of colors. Yeah, exactly.
Or even better, we can put a statement on there and just wear our statement.
That's very true.
Maybe it's like eat meat. I don't know.
It was a very interesting night last night. A couple of times I watched the award show. Drake won Best Artist again, I guess, for forever. So again.
Actually, it was funny because you mentioned the Billboard Awards. It was on for me, but I was doing the dishes, so I did not even check it out. And the problem was, I had flipped onto it at halftime, and then I flipped back, and I was like, you know what? The award show is slightly more interesting than this basketball game.
The basketball game wasn't very good, man. I just did not enjoy the basketball game that much. I was really looking forward to it because I'm trying to get on this Nugget train. I really am. I really am. Listen, when I lived in Denver, when I moved to Denver in early 2002, my wife is a big hockey fan, and she went right to the Avalanche. She's like, I want to go to Avalanche games, et cetera, et cetera. She did the same thing when we moved here for Predators games. But I've been an NBA guy my whole life. So to me, the sports I was covering for the station I was working at, I went to all the Broncos stuff, and I went to Rockies games, and I went to Nuggets games. I didn't go to as many Avs games as I probably should, but I went to a lot of Nuggets games. Now, the Nuggets back then were terrible until they got Carmelo Anthony, and then they started making the playoffs. But I love the NBA, so I was going in there. So I really felt an attachment to the Nuggets. I got to know the organization really well. I got to know the people really well. I got to know George Karl. I got to know when he was there. I got to know the different players. But I've been attached from them for a while. So this is not the team that I remember. This is not the team I know. None of the players are on the team or any time when I was there. But I'm still trying to connect with them. I can't. I can't connect with them. I just can't. For whatever reason, I can't. And so last night I was looking forward to the game because I want to have this rooting interest in the Western Conference. It's not coming to me. And watching the game last night was just, it wasn't good. I know people, like I said earlier, people like competitiveness, even if the game is bad. And the game was competitive. There was a feeling like it was still up in the air that somebody was going to emerge victorious. Just both teams were terrible. Damian Lillard scored 14 points in that game. He was just as bad as Jokic last night. So it wasn't a very good game. It wasn't something the NBA will, showcase moving forward. But the Kentucky Derby is going to be run on Sunday, and the favorite Omaha Beach got scratched yesterday. Now, he got scratched because he's having breathing trouble. Now, this has got to scare a horse owner, doesn't it? When you train a horse to run races.
So are you saying that he's asthmatic?
Is that what it is? I have no idea. You train a horse to run races. He runs a morning lap or two. He feels fine. And then they realize, oh, his breathing is bad. What does that mean to the horse? Is that horse done forever?
Well, I think it's, call it a career.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's it.
If you have asthma and there isn't a horse-sized puffer for you out there.
So, see, I wish I knew more about veterinary science about horses. So, did they just discover this, or is he just getting it now? Or, like, what can happen to the horse if it did race the Kentucky Derby? Could it die?
Maybe he's, I don't know, allergic to Kentucky grass.
That might be it. Yeah, that might be it. But it's weird. I mean, this is a horse that was, it's favored for a reason. It's not favored because it looks good. It's favored because it won races and it has a certain speed and it has a certain style and all of that. And now they're saying, oh yeah, and it can't breathe after it runs. So he's out. Goodbye. It's just weird to me. It's not like he got hurt. They're not saying he got limp. He was running around. He was racing around the track and his foot got caught in something. And now he's kind of limping a little bit. Or now he's got something that makes it dangerous for him to run. They found this. They diagnosed a breathing problem with a horse, a racehorse. That means you're done, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, what surprises me is that they didn't figure this out earlier.
That's what I was just saying. Yeah. He's he's a racehorse.
I mean, after his first race and he's wheezing, you know, wouldn't that give you a sign that says, this guy, you know, maybe he's smoking 2 packs a day. And it's like, yeah, you got to cut back if you want to keep up your athletic prowess.
How do you feel, Omaha Beach? Doing all right. Whew. I'm doing okay. I got another one in you? Maybe? Hold on. Whoa. Whoa. On to Churchill Downs. Whoa. Oh, boy. And then they go, nah, he'll be fine. And then they went, no, maybe he won't be fine. So now the new favorite is Game Winner is the new favorite. Who makes up these names?
He'll lose.
Yeah, right?
That's too cocky of a name.
It is. Why don't you just call your horse Triple Crown Champion? Right? I mean, my God. Oh, goodness. So, yeah. So, Omaha Beach is out of the Derby. So, now everybody's scrambling to figure out who's the new favorite. I don't know. I like the Kentucky Derby. It's a cool party. It's a very cool sporting event. I wouldn't mind going. Here's my thing. I don't live that far from Louisville. And I want to go to the Derby one year, but when I think about going to the Derby, does this make sense, by the way? When I think about going, it drags me down where I don't want to go.
Oh, of course. Well, from what I've heard, it's one of the worst sporting events to attend live.
That's what I've heard, too.
For the sport, not for the atmosphere in the party. The atmosphere in the party, is probably fantastic.
And bet all day on all the other races and all that other stuff.
Right, that you're literally there for 7 hours for a two-minute race. And, there's, hundreds of thousands of people there?
Yeah.
Drive me insane.
That would drive me nuts. I mean, And can you imagine being a sports writer that gets sent to this thing? Like you're covering one thing. You're not there to bet and party and drink mink juleps and wear funny hats. You're there to write about a horse race that's 2.5 minutes long that comes at the end of a long, long, long day at Churchill Downs. Right? A long day. And you got to wait around for it. You may write, if you're a sports writer covering horse racing, you're probably going to write about the other races a little bit, but mostly you're there to cover the Derby and it's a 2.5 minute race.
Well, I mean, say if you're a national writer.
Right.
If you're not handicapping horses or you don't normally write about horses, you're there just to cover that event because at the end of the day, even if you're a national writer, you don't really care about the other horses. You'll never even hear of them again. Then you're there just to cover the Kentucky Derby. That really is a long day to just wait around for 2 hours.
It really is. It's a long, long day. I mean,
maybe by comparison, even though it's a little bit more exciting, would be the equivalent of covering a Mike Tyson fight back in the day.
Yeah, Yeah, but there was always a chance it could go 15 rounds and you might get a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Derby doesn't go, and we're going to go around again. No, we're done.
They should, though.
Yeah, they should just shock everybody. One more lap, everyone.
Omaha Beach would die.
Omaha, yeah. Poor Omaha Beach. doesn't even get a chance to go stud now with that sort of ailment.
Ruined his career.
Right? We don't want our horses to be able to breed.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us on SB Nation AM. Throwback Thursday 2015. American Pharoah wins the Kentucky Derby. Mayweather over Pacquiao. That happened 4 years ago on this date. Who did this song? What's the name of the group that does this song?
I think it's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I do too.
Because it's Walk the Moon.
Walk the Moon, okay.
And I saw that, I was like, I don't remember that band at all.
I don't know anything about this song. I knew it was popular.
Yep.
My kids liked it. But when I told them this sounds like a 1980s song. Like, this sounds like a song from the 80s.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
But I don't know if they did that on purpose. If they wrote it like the an 80s song. I mean, I have no idea, but I'm just wondering if they did. If they said, listen, there's a certain 80s montage type of sound, like St. Elmo's Fire kind of thing. We're going to make the song in that with that inspiration. Cuz it does sound very 80s.
Yeah, it sounds like something that maybe you'll remember the band that did Come on Eileen.
Oh, yeah, that's Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Sounds like that they would have done.
Exactly. So Bryce Harper is getting booed. That was quick. He is 4-33, and Philly fans are having not enough of this. They can't. They're not taking this pretty well. Although the Phillies are in first place, so they have that. But listen, Philly fan, relax. You got a long contract here. Remember, that's what Bryce Harper wanted, and it's $330 million. So chill out, because it's going to be a long journey with Mr. Harper. Didn't people think this was going to happen? Like, doesn't he go in spurts anyway? He goes, he can't hit, then he can hit, then he can't hit, then he can't hit. So, Philly fan, relax. But here's the cool thing. Remember at the beginning of the season when Bryce Harper was like, he was like embracing being a Philadelphia Philly? He was really in, like, just wanted to be into it, right? Just was excited to be on a new team. He wore cleats and stuff like that in honoring the Phillies. Philly fanatic, all that good stuff. Well, he said, when he was asked about this, he said, I would boo me too. So good for Bryce Harper to not take offense to the Bronx cheers or the Philly cheers of Bryce Harper as he's in this middle of this slump.
Now, I know a lot of people give Philly fan a lot of credit for being passionate and supportive, but they're the most fickle fan I've ever seen.
This season is a month old, and you are booing a guy who is one of the hottest free agents, and he chose your city. He chose your team's offer. And you're booing him a month into the season because he's not producing immediately. You have Bryce Harper pretty much until he's done being Bryce Harper. Right? You have him until the end.
I mean, are they afraid that, oh, we spent all this money and he's only going to hit 5 home runs a year and just sink our team to the next level?
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. It's Bryce Harper. He's going to be fine. He's going to find his rhythm. He's going to find his swing. And, yeah, if you go back and look at past seasons, there's some times where he started off hot, then went cold. Sometimes he starts off cold and goes hot.
Does Philly fan go, I only get to go to a couple games a year, and I want to see him hit a home run, and he's not hitting a home run?
That's what it feels like.
Is that what it is?
It feels like, you know, if he's not producing if he's not hitting a home run or scoring 3 runs every single night, I feel like they're going to boo him.
Yeah, I do too. I totally do.
Like, why can't Bryce Harper hit 162 home runs?
Exactly.
That seems logical.
I am amazed. I am amazed that like Harper gets it. I like that. I like that Harper gets the big picture. He knows he's in a slump. He knows he can't hit. He knows he just signed a big contract. So he understands Philly fan frustration. But of all the things Phillies boo, right, people in Philadelphia boo, and they're known for this, right? They're known for booing. They're known for getting on their own athletes. This is a little crazy, all right? This is a little crazy. If Harper wasn't hitting his third year into the Phillies, like year three, and he was on this, I could see that. But he just got there 10 minutes ago. Can you, everybody just take, just relax, take a nap, enjoy this for what it's worth? That's crazy to me. But it's not, given that we know Philadelphia fan. So on the one hand, totally understand. If you would have told me that there was a fan base booing a superstar that just got there, I'd say either New York or Philadelphia. They're very famous for this. But at the same time, it is mind-boggling that 5 minutes after he signs the deal, they're booing him because he can't hit. He's 4-for-33. He's not 4-for-253. All right? This is just a slump. He'll get out of it.
It happens.
Wake me up in the All-Star break if he's 4-for-175. You know, hey, then we can talk.
I'll say this. Well, you know, he might have a terrible year this year just adjusting to his new surroundings,
sure.
His new teammates, everything about it. The pressures of being that highly paid of a player and learning to deal with those expectations of him. He might have a terrible year this year. But I guarantee that, you know, out of what, it's a 13-year contract?
Yeah.
You know, 90% of that 13-year contract, he's going to be a producer. He's going to be the guy that you hope for.
Yeah.
Just have some patience, man.
I mean, have some patience, man. Listen, I mean, in this particular game, for example, I'm looking at the box score, okay? In this particular game, he was 0-for-4, okay? He didn't strike out, but he was 0-for-4. Now, Andrew McCutchen is batting leadoff for the Phillies, and Juan Segura is batting second, okay? Now, both of those guys had 9 plate appearances and combined for 5 hits. So that means in 5 of the 9 at-bats, they were on base. Now, I don't know how the inning broke down and whatnot, but let's say Harper is going up. He's going up in his 4 at-bats, and, oh, I don't know, in 3 of the at-bats, somebody's on base. That means he's not going to get pitches to take a good look at. He's a dangerous hitter. So that means he's not getting good pitches to look at, okay? So some of this is on him, but some of it's on the quality of stuff that he's seeing. He might be chasing bad pitches to try to make something happen, but they're not going to give him anything over the plate, for crying out loud, if runners are on base.
No, because, and especially speed guys.
Right.
You know, if he's to put one into the gap and one of the guys is standing on first, that guy's scoring.
That's exactly right.
Because they're fast enough to get around those bases and score just because Bryce Harper slapped a single into the gap.
He was 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position, so he probably had about 4 at-bats. Probably in his 4 at-bats, probably somebody who was on base all 4 times.
I guarantee every pitch was outside in the dirt.
Yeah. He's probably not getting good looks. He's probably getting some stuff he's likely to chase, because that's probably what the scouting report is saying. He's probably pressing, which is on him. Don't press, but that you can't help it. When you're a slump, that's the worst thing you can do is press. But people do it all the time. It's just
ask Chris Davis.
Exactly, happens all the time. Like even when you know you shouldn't press, you'll press anyway. So he's not getting good pitches. He's pressing. He's stressed. He's stressful. There's runners on base. He's trying to get them home. He can't. It's a combination. So just chill. He's going to figure this out, right? I mean, it's 4-for-33, though. It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, but like you said, if come July, come August, if he's still doing it, okay, you can go ahead.
Yeah, then wake me up then. Wake me up then.
So we're like, I'll be like, give him the benefit of the doubt. Come on, man.
We are a month into the Major League Baseball season, and Boston is still a lot of games out of first place.
Yes, but they've been sneakily, quietly winning games again.
They have. They just won 3 straight against Oakland.
Who knew?
Tampa Bay still in first place.
It's against Oakland. Who's the main player in Oakland again? They have one.
I can't forget. I can't remember.
They have one.
Let me think. Steven Piscotty? Is that who it is? Yeah. Dodgers are winning games.
I would have said Kyler Murray, but...
Yeah, right. St. Louis is winning a ton of games. St. Louis has won like 10 of 11. I know. St. Louis is winning a lot of games.
You know who else is kind of fun to watch right now? Padres.
Padres are really fun to watch. Yeah, I saw them a little bit in this series against Atlanta on my local Fox Sports Atlanta TV station.
Ooh,
yeah,
big ups.
One of the few I get the Reds. I think I get one of the Fox Sports Ohio. But I get Atlanta, so I get to watch Hawks and Braves baseball every single night if I want. I saw a little bit of them when they played the Braves, but. They are fun to watch. They're playing some good baseball right now. Minnesota is in first place. Philadelphia is in first place. So we're a month into the baseball season. We're kind of cruising along. It's been kind of interesting. There's been a lot of cool storylines that's going on in Major League Baseball right now. Remember, Seattle got off to that really good start. They've slumped a little bit. But the Oakland A's, I don't think we'll have to worry about them anymore. They're in last place in the West.
Are you counting the really good start because Ichiro was on the team?
Yeah, exactly. The two games in Japan. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So, again, Bryce Harper getting booed in Philadelphia. I wish everybody would slow down. I like Bryce Harper, too, because I think doesn't Bryce Harper feel like a ball player kind of thing? Like, he just feels like in an age where kids are doing other things and whatnot, he looks like an old-fashioned ball player.
Yeah, just like get dirty.
Yeah, he just looks like mm-hmm. he's coming out of the 70s, the way he plays baseball. But so I don't know. It's not surprising. I remember I was at Yankee Stadium one time, and the fans were brewing, I wish I remember his name. It was not Aaron Judge, but one of the other young players. I think it was Gary Sanchez. And I was at this, and I remember thinking it was odd, but then, people were saying, but he did this, and this. And I was like, all right. I mean, Yankee fans are just going to boo anyway. So it's one half dozen of the other. A lot of it is because, there's high expectations and you got to live up to it. But at the same time, aren't you glad though he chose your team?
Yes.
Like, aren't you, if you're a Philly fan, aren't you glad he had all these offers? All these teams wanted him. All these teams were making a play. Washington made a play to keep him. The Giants were interested in him, making an offer. There were other teams that wanted to go after him. And he chose yours. He chose your team. He chose your city. He chose your organization. He wants to win with you. He's not doing it on purpose. Right? I mean, boo him if he's trying to, if he's doing it on purpose. Boo him if he's saying in the press, I hate it here, and I figure if I strike out every time or I hit ground balls and induce double plays that they'll ship me somewhere else. Then you boo the guy, but he wants to be there and he wants to win there. Let him just get out of the slump naturally. Wouldn't you like to be a psychiatrist in the sitting around in the Phillies stadium, Citizens Bank Park, and sitting out with fans going, what would be really helpful if you actually supported him in his time of need? They probably boo you out of the stadium. Now, shut up. We got to let him know how we feel. How does he get out of his slump when he's under stress? Now, let's give it to him. Let's give him a harder. Oh, my goodness. Bryce Harper. It could be a long $330 million contract. By the time we're done. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, celebrating 2015 on this date, the American Pharoah won the Kentucky Derby. And Mayweather beat Pacquiao. We're talking about Major League Baseball. Indians right-hander Corey Kluber suffered a fracture in his arm after hit by a line drive off the bat of Brian Anderson. Of all the things in sports that make me wince, and there's a lot that make me wince, but nothing makes me wince more than when a line drive comes right back at a pitcher. That split second is so scary. Because you don't know where anything's going. I mean, I give pitchers a ton of credit because they're 60 feet, 6 inches away. They're throwing a ball 90 miles an hour. The pitcher, the batter swings. If it comes straight back, they need a reaction time. And last night, Corey Kluber suffered a fracture in his right arm after getting hit with the line drive. I keep waiting for, I don't know when. Like, one of these days, some pitcher is going to get really, really hurt. Like, end of career hurt. Getting hit in the head with a line drive or something. But I don't know. It was scary enough. But he's going to be out for a little bit. That song, wasn't that from Fast and the Furious?
Yes.
That's right. Well, they did a little tribute to Paul Walker.
Yep.
In the not the last one, but like the second to last one.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Number 7, I believe.
God, I watched like the first two movies of that series, and then I just stopped watching them.
You know what? I'm with you, but then I would say skip through and just go to like number 5 or number 6,
There's one where they're in England. It seemed to cross over just being like a street racing movie to more of like a crime drama type thing.
Oh, okay.
And then the seventh one, the one where, you know, with the tribute to Paul Walker, where it was the last film he made, is actually, I thought it was really entertaining.
The thing about those movies is people love them because they don't pretend to be something they're not. They're fun. They're absolutely
exactly.
fun. They're crazy. A lot of the stunts, they're pretty much
ridiculous.
Impossible, but they don't care. Who cares? It's all a blast. It's cars, it's speed, it's craziness, it's stunts, it's fun dialogue.
That's why I say
it's just a popcorn flick that is a blast to watch.
From the sixth movie on, that's where it you know becomes one of those like shoot 'em up spy type movies.
Right.
And that's all it is. It's just, you know, Vin Diesel and his gang going up against the bad guys. And there's lots of guns and violence and you know, it just has like that diehard feel to it where it's just, you know, anything goes. And the seventh one, I swear, I was really blown away at how entertaining it was. I haven't seen The Fate and the Furious, which is the eighth one. And they're coming out with a spinoff.
Is there, how many are there?
Well, there's a spinoff coming out this summer.
Well, I mean, Fast and Furious, how many are there?
I think there's eight.
Wow, that's a lot.
And then you have the spinoff this summer. It's Rock and Jason Statham.
Amazing. Amazing.
So.
I didn't know the franchise was that deep.
Yes.
Like I said, I sort of stopped watching after maybe two or three, and then...
Get back into it, Tony.
I should. I mean, why not? They're all available online somewhere, SB Nation AM.